Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you are listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Ruby and Justice League, Superheroes and Huntsmen, Part 1.
Yeah, part one being the only bit that really matters.
Yeah. So, going into this film, I've never watched anything from Ruby.
Me neither. So, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was... I didn't know Ruby was actually a thing. I don't know what I thought this was going to be about. Like, I'm kind of interested in it. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, same.
Like, I quite like the vibe, but I don't know why going into it, I didn't realise this was a long-running cartoon already.
Yeah, I think this had been running for about... Well, it was running for about 10 years when...
Right, I had no idea. I mean, which is clearly to do with my age. And awareness of the general thing. So yeah, it was a little bit surprising because I've laughed at this title for so long, I didn't really pay attention to the fact that what it really was. So it was kind of, it took me a little while to sort of settle in.
Yeah. So the film doesn't exactly give you time to settle in either.
No, it goes straight into it.
So the film starts with Clark Kent waking up in a strange outfit in a forest as a pair of sisters?
I still don't know that. I'm not going to even speculate. As these two girls.
These two teen girls. Teen girls are fighting Grimms, which are shadow monsters.
I don't really know what they are. Big black things.
They are evil and bad and covered in shadow. And they look like monsters.
They do look like monsters. That's all we really need to know.
And Superman does not have all his powers and is a teenager for some reason.
Yes. I mean, there's not much else to say. It's just, yes. We have no idea why he's a teenager. I quite like the outfit.
Oh, yeah, I like the outfit. I like all the Justice League outfits in this film.
Yeah, me too.
Eventually, the three of them are able to defeat all the Grimms, whilst Clark is having some weird memory flashes. Also, so these two people, Ruby and Yang.
Oh, is that her name? I don't really... The names didn't stick with me. Only about three of the names stuck with me. So
Ruby and Yang refuse to call Superman, so they call him Clark.
Unsurprisingly, because he's turned up as a teen boy saying, "My name's Superman."
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... You know, if it wasn't that we know him automatically, and you know, his name's Clark, it's like he doesn't need to give his name as Superman, but I guess he's used to keeping that a secret, so yeah. Therefore, you know.
So Ruby and Yang are convinced that they are on Remnant, which is the world of Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is a little more complicated than that, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one thing, to be fair. Yes, this is a part one, but there is an actual arc and a plot, and there is a start and an end to this film. They didn't do that thing of, we're building, and then last minute, oh, you'll have to find out what happens in the next film.
No, that's quite well done. But also, like, I for some reason, I thought this... Are there three parts to this?
There's two.
Okay, so for some reason in my head, this is a three-parter, so I was a little bit confused.
Yeah, they decide that they need to visit Ozpin.
Yeah, just giving us names that we don't know what they are. But yes.
As I said, I get the impression there's a lot of this film early on. If we had watched any of Ruby at all, this would all make sense.
I know, and like, that's on us. Yeah. But there is something funnier about, I mean, there is something funny about not having, right?
And also, I suppose that's the whole idea of a crossover is you go for one side and you go, oh, this is actually quite interesting. Maybe I'll check out the other show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I would certainly look. If it was on a streaming service I had, which I don't know because I haven't looked.
I believe most of the first three seasons are on YouTube because it started out as a YouTube show and now it's on
Crunchyroll. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm old. I do not like the idea of watching stuff on YouTube. Generally, I don't go to YouTube for my entertainment needs. I use it for, like, the odd trailer. But if someone were to persuade me that I should, this is the kind of thing I would probably watch. So, I mean, like, it interested me enough, which kind of was weird, but, yeah, good.
So, meanwhile, we follow Vice. I'm taking it. I can ascertain that RWBY refers to the first name of the four main team members. I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Vice...
Who are mostly colours. So, yeah. Yang.
So, Vice is part of a rich family that is apparently in charge of... Oh, so I have skipped over a part. Sorry. So, we then follow two cat people.
Right, okay. So, can we just talk about this for 1 second? Because one of them is the mother of the other one, and they both look exactly the same age.
Is that not an anime problem in general?
You can usually tell adults from children. Like, or teens, or like the parent of a teen. Yeah, they have adult-looking adults. But this one really, like, threw me when she said mom, and I was like, what? And then just spent... I kind of lost the rest of that scene because I was too busy going, what? I don't understand. So that's the only bit I kind of laughed at. I just took this kind of backwards kind of... I have no idea why anyone thought that was good, but that was weird.
So we are... So at this point, we're following... the character we're meant to be following is Blake, who kind of looks a bit like... And I think I'm going to upset someone when I say this. Cat Girl Tifa?
I don't know who that is.
Character from one of the Final Fantasy games.
I mean, I've played them all, but I... Yeah, maybe.
So... They are then approached by a guard named Rolf who has captured Wonder Woman, who immediately breaks free.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, we're going to need to talk to Ozpin. However, the massive... I don't know if it's a train network or... The network that allows everyone to travel around and communicate... Sorry, the network that allows everyone to communicate is down.
Well, that should be a warning sign.
Yep.
One would think.
So, this is where we then follow Weiss, whose father is in charge of that network, but is too busy having a party.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
So, she then finds... a bat suit just lying about, and she doesn't spot the unconscious man in a dark room, and is then approached by Bruce Wayne.
Definitely, look, I may like this Bruce Wayne more than almost any other Bruce Wayne.
Yes, because, so, he actually starts going, right, okay, what's going on? Where am I? I know I'm not in Gotham.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out how this world works.
Yeah, and I mean, he takes the detective approach, which is good in this case.
He figures out that the whole world is powered by something called dust. And as he's trying to figure out what's happening, it turns out he stole a lab key from Vice's father.
Because he's Bruce. He's cheeky monkey.
And he saw a key. I mean, what's he meant to do? Not steal it?
Right? I mean, look, he's been kidnapped and taken to a strange world. Like, what is he going to do if not take every opportunity to use all the things presented to himself?
And then he asks Vice for help, who she then goes, this is your thief. Then the fight happens and the piano player who's there decides to play battle music whilst it happens. So apparently the piano player is genre savvy.
I mean, it's that kind of party.
And also, talking about this kind of party, Bruce realises he actually has powers.
Yes, this is why he's my favourite Bruce.
He has bat wings.
He has bat wings. So cute.
So however, he is then easily captured because he's not used to having bat wings.
No, but he gets there. I mean, like, you know, don't worry, everyone. He'll get there.
So we then cut back to Superman, Ruby, and Yang arriving at Osborn's base, where Wonder Woman and Blake are also waiting for them.
Wonder Woman has an amusing arrival. Like, she's a little bit more,
yeah,
you know, in everyone's face.
Yep. So we keep seeing flashes of of the Justice League fighting some sort of monstrous robotic creature. And both sets of people are having weird memory gaps.
Yeah.
So including the two from the three from the Ruby universe are confused because they're sure that this tower was destroyed, but it's still standing again. So then Ozpin arrives, but keeps flashing between himself and a young boy called Oscar, which I take it's from the TV show.
I mean, I guess they all had to be from the TV shows. I you know, like,
yeah.
With like literally no basis, that I was just guessing that this was all things that people were like, oh yeah, I know that.
Yeah. So Ozpin then advises that they follow him, and we see whilst we're in the room that there is a Green Lantern ring in the room.
Yes, very prominently get to see that.
Speaking of Green Lantern, we follow Jessica Cruz.
It's always Jessica Cruz now, but that's all right. I quite like her.
I think it's...
it's clearly a lot of the group is... I mean, it's a very male-heavy group, Justice League, generally, so...
I think it's maybe, yeah, it's an effort to have more female characters, and
yeah,
of all the kind of characters we have, Green Lantern's one where there's the most established female character.
Yeah, I like her a lot, and I don't have a problem with it. It's just that, you know, it'd be nice to sometimes see the others. I mean,
yeah.
I guess we do sometimes, so.
Well, I mean, Jessica Cruz hasn't been the main character in any of the Green Lantern films we've covered.
No, but she's been the Green Lantern in a lot of the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
If not all.
Certainly more of the modern Justice League stuff, yeah.
Well, I mean, she didn't exist before the modern stuff, so I mean, like, it'd be quite hard because she's a pretty new character in
yeah,
those sort of that term, but yeah.
We have a bunch of characters are in a school called Beacon Academy. So we've got, I'm just trying to get a list of everyone. Jane, John, I don't know, it's spelt weird. Nora and Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And from the Justice League, we have Mary McCabe, aka Vixen, Victor Stone Cyborg, Barry Allen Flash, and as we mentioned, Jessica Cruz. We see that the lesson's not really sinking in. other than it turns out that these members of the Justice League now know about Dust.
Yeah.
And then there is fight training.
And cue little montage. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, the fights aren't quite good in this.
Fights aren't bad at all. I mean, yeah.
But the one thing that does happen is Jessica doesn't have any of her powers, and Mari doesn't have her necklace, so she's not as powerful as she is normally.
Okay.
It is at this point that Superman and Wonder Woman arrive, and Ozpin and the teacher disappear. It's also mentioned that time is acting weird in this place. People are travelling distances they shouldn't be able to travel in a day, in less than a day. And when everyone kind of, after everyone's introduced, the Justice League say, "Where's Batman? Batman's not here."
Yeah.
That's because Batman is too busy learning how to use his powers.
Which is kind of fun. He's having a whale of a time. Bruce is, like, actually enjoying himself, which is, I think, kind of fun.
Yeah, it's actually nice to have a version of Batman who has some joy.
Because, like, so I was, when I read something about it, I was like, well, I mean, as you see, like, so there, you know, you'll find the reason why they're all teenagers. And I like the fact it not backfires with Batman, but it's just kind of like, kind of he is the opposite to everyone else. He's like happy. Like, you realise how much it must have got to him that he didn't have powers.
Well, I think it's a mixture of two things. One, the fact that he's never had powers and now he does. Mm-hmm. And two, the other thing as well is, I think he even says it himself, he never really had a chance to be a teenager.
No, I mean, it's exactly that. He never had a chance to be a teenager. He's got the powers. And, I mean, he would still have the trauma, whether he had been a teenager or not. But it's just like, he's not somewhere where all the trauma took place.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense that he would be reacting the way he's reacting.
Yeah.
So Weiss then goes to visit him, going, yeah, something weird's going on. Batman is able to escape by spitting on the electronics.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a little bit weird, I have to say.
Meanwhile, the rest of the group all talk. They figure that, well, everyone else has appeared near another major member of this team. So, yes, Batman is probably with Vice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, everyone is kind of getting a bit tetchy and tense.
They are, though, aren't they?
Which, I think it's explained later that there is a reason why they were chosen as teenagers.
Yes, that was kind of what I was, like, hinting at before, because, like, they're not quite as their mature selves.
Yeah. So, the team decide to split up. Also, the other thing, no one is willing to listen to Superman because he looks like a kid.
Which is funny because, like, they all look like kids. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why they want to listen to him less because he's a kid, but it's quite funny.
Yeah. So, afterwards, we get most of the team go to investigate the Grimm because they're acting in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jean and Jessica are going to go find Jessica's ring.
Because clearly that's very important. I mean, it is. That wasn't me joking, by the way.
Yeah, to be fair.
That like, clearly is very important. Like, you know, she can't do much without it.
Meanwhile, Blake, Yang, and Wonder Woman are going to go find Vice and Batman. And everyone else is going to go pick a fight with the superpowered creatures that they haven't been able to defeat properly yet.
Yeah.
So, we follow Jessica and John first. Also, it cuts in between these so rapidly.
Yeah.
That it's really difficult to kind of follow what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to try and go... Right. Okay, so the first group we follow is Bruce and Vice. Sorry, not Jessica and John. This is where Batman mentions, oh, I've never been a... I never had the chance to be a teenager. As they approach the lab, there are Grimm waiting outside it. Bruce notices that they seem to be illusionary.
Mm-hmm.
But the pair of them then team up and work together to get into the lab. Bruce ends up using Vice's sword, which is kind of like a rapier shape.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we then follow the large group, which is Superman, Ruby, Vixen, Flash, Cyborg, Ren, and Nora. And Cyborg is being a not nice person.
Yeah.
He's not coping well with the fact that he appears to be basically at levels of computers in this universe rather than in his own universe.
Yeah.
We then cut back to Jessica and John. Jessica's having real problems with anxiety and she can't find the ring. When she then tries and kind of relaxes and concentrates, she finds herself in a white room where she has her ring.
Yeah. Yeah, this is cool. This is a bit Quantum Leap, if you get the reference, but yeah.
Yeah.
So the imaging chamber in Quantum Leap. There you go. I'll actually give you the proper reference.
So, Jean's power is that he can make... Because everyone in this universe has powers called semblance.
Yes, which just confuses the Justice League as much as it confused me.
So, his semblance is that he can make other people's semblance stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica then begins to click, wait a minute, this is actually the room we're in, because everything in this room is an illusion, and then they're attacked by a red ball with razor tentacles.
Which, this is when it starts to get truly batty.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman, Yang, and Blake talk about the fact that all three of them were brought up to be warriors. And also Wonder Woman is trying to cope with the fact that at the moment her items have her powers rather than her.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of them are then attacked in a flying... Because they're in a flying ship. They're attacked by flying Grimms.
Which is so funny.
And there is a massive fight on top of a plane.
Yeah, I mean, like, it does get a bit bonkers.
This is where, because it kind of bounces between the three, I think what we'll do is, if we follow the smaller groups...
Yeah.
So, Jessica and Jean, now that they've realised that they're in an illusion... Jean keeps hearing the voice of Pyra, who is someone that he's in love with who's now dead. And he keeps trusting her until it turns out that, oh, Pyra is an illusion, and tricks them and locks them in a cupboard.
Mm-hmm, as you do.
Which... The cupboard then starts to close, and it's at this point that Jean is able to motivate Jessica into finding her Green Lantern powers, and there's an awesome scene where she does the Green Lantern oath, and they escape from the room.
Hooray.
Meanwhile, we then follow Vice and Bruce as they keep going through. They notice that every major network is running for a program that's using a ton of energy, and that's why the communication system's not working, that's why technology's all acting a bit strange. also, there is, at this point, they try to alter the programming, which is when a ton of Grimms attack, and they are fighting them, but they're overwhelmed until Blake, Yang, and Wonder Woman show up and help. It's at this point that Vice and Bruce explain, right, we are caught in a world between our two worlds.
Yeah, they kind of got it.
Yeah. So, when Bruce and Wonder Woman talk, it becomes clear that Bruce is genuinely considering staying in the Ruby universe. Which I don't know how that works.
Nobody knows how it works, but he's thinking about it. He likes his wings.
You're like, yeah, which, to be fair.
And he doesn't know very much about it yet. This is not the decision of a wise old man.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cute.
Well,
he's
that's
like, I got wings. This is kind of cool.
That's kind of the whole point, though.
I know. That's what I was saying. That's why I was saying it.
So I'm just going to try to keep track through my notes.
Mm.
Because obviously I've done it in the order that things happened rather than the kind of isolating the various tracks. So, meanwhile, the big team notice a wyvern Grimm. It's a wyvern, not a dragon, because it has two legs and wings. Rather than four legs and wings.
Or no wings, in which case it'd be a worm.
Yeah. So, the team are fighting against this wyvern, which then is able to generate other Grimms. Whilst this is happening, Barry's having strange problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's running out of energy, he's not as fast as he should be.
Oh, I wonder if something's up with Barry.
Yeah, I wonder.
I wonder.
So, after Cyborg and Nora team up to produce, basically run enough electricity through Nora's hammer that she's able to take the wyvern down, the wyvern then splits into a wyvern and a leviathan.
This bit lost me, I have to say. I wasn't that really that interested in this stuff.
Yeah. So, the team are starting to fight, but it's just, again, they're overwhelmed by this massive number of monsters until the rest of the teams arrive. So, Vixen's powers are starting to manifest, Nora's caught by the Grimm and knocked out, until eventually Batman arrives and gets a proper Batman. Like, he gets a proper entrance. Everyone else just kind of appears. He, like, appears in shadows with his wings.
Of course he does. Batman.
Yeah, he's Batman.
Of course. Like, come on.
And he and Superman then figure out that Flash is the problem. Because in this world, Barry is being possessed by Kilgore.
Yeah, which is the stupidest spelling of a name, but anyway.
Yeah, because it's spelled K-I-L-G percentage mark R-E.
It's ridiculous.
He is an established villain. He's a Flash villain.
Is he?
Yeah,
stupid Flash villain.
So he showed up he's an enemy mainly of Wally West, specifically. This is the first time he's appeared in anything we've covered. He did show up in the Flash TV show as well.
Oh, did he?
Series 4.
I watched.
Yes,
that.
Apparently that spelled is the spelling of the character.
Oh, okay. I just wondered. Maybe I saw him but didn't really twig. I did watch that much of the Flash.
Yeah.
So.
So, I think Series 4 was the one where they went, let's have the big bad be not just another speedster.
I mean, that's nice.
So, Barry's body is being possessed by Kilgore.
And it's always Barry. I mean, like, if you take him out at the front of any problem, you're clear away. I'm not saying it's his fault, but, I mean, like, often it is. But this time, not, but still.
Also, Bruce realizes that that Barry is communicating to him in Morse because he's able to control
kind
of one
fun,
of his hands.
That's kind of fun.
So, Kilgore, it then is revealed that Kilgore made a deal with someone from Redmond to trap the Justice League in a virtual world where he could watch them being killed. And the agreement was that they would do this as long as they also trapped this guy from Redmond's enemies as well, which is the Ruby team and JNPR, which is the other team. Because all teams can just be named after the characters who are in it. They are then able to work together to separate Barry from Kilgore. Once Barry's free of Kilgore, he also has the Green Lantern ring and Vixen's necklace. And there is a crazy battle. Because we've not had that for the entire film.
Yeah. I mean, look, most of them were pretty good. When it got, like, really confusing, or when there were loads of them, then it was a bit much. But, like, when they're, like, one by one, it's not too bad.
Yeah. So, Kilgore then possesses the Wyvern, and the team are able to then turn up so that Ruby and Green Lantern and John can combine their powers that allows them to kill Kilgore and the Wyvern. Bruce, so then after talking with each other, Bruce is able to figure a way to open a portal to allow both teams to escape back to their own worlds. Including he chooses to go back home because he's a warrior in any dimension. And after saying goodbye to each other, we finished the film with the RWBY team. It turns out that they were in a training simulation and they were tricked.
Yeah, so no one's in their real world.
Yeah, so everyone's back where they should be.
Yes, but now there's an added hiccup.
Yeah. And that is the end of this film. And in the next film, all the characters are adults again for the Justice League, which means
I didn't go look. That's kind of cool.
Which means they changed voice actors. So Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and The Flash have different voice actors, and David Dalmulchian shows up again.
Well, we like him. That's all right.
We like him, but this is like the fourth or fifth project in a row he just randomly shows up.
I mean, he's a great voice actor.
He is a great voice actor, absolutely. I mean, the other three are also voice actors because it's Travis Willingham, Laura Bailey, and Troy Baker. So it's all four of them are kind of cracking voice actors. Mm-hmm. Before we cover part two, however, there's two other films that have come out in between, which is Justice League War World.
Oh, is that next?
That's next. Mm. And Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
I have to ask Connor if he wants to do War World. He'd probably rant about it, but
why? Because it's not a Superman story?
Yes. Whereas the comics it is.
So then we'll be doing part two of Justice League and Ruby.
Cool, I'm looking forward to it.
Which is apparently an adaptation of a comic book series. Apparently.
Yeah, read that. And I'm like, oh, that actually sounds something I should pay attention to.
Yep. So after those three, we'll be covering Merry Little Batman, because there's nothing quite like doing an episode on it set in Christmas in May.
Well, That's just bad planning.
I know. To be fair, when I started this podcast 3 years ago, this film didn't exist. And then after that, it will be the three-part Crisis on Infinite Earth series.
Oh, that's the one that's in three parts. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew one of them was. I just got it wrong.
Which two of those movies are not currently out.
Interesting.
Though one of them, I think, comes out in the next month.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we probably will have to wait for part three.
Can't wait.
So anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Justice League War World.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, sorry, have you appeared in our podcast recently?
No.
No. I'm still doing Rise of the Robots.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.